But today we are looking at the peace that we get from the Lord. And I pray today that everyone here is in that peace of the Lord. We go through a lot of stuff, but that peace that brings us through. And today we'll look at what the Lord has shared with us in the Scriptures about His peace. And then we'll have communion today in remembrance of it. You know, last week we were looking at the hope that we have in Jesus. And that hope that we have isn't, as we said before, we hope things turn out. But when you look at the Word of God and you find a Scripture that speaks to you on what you need, that's guaranteed as we follow Him that it will take place. And the key word in any walk of life that we have with the Lord is to follow His Word. And it's kind of like if I'm going somewhere, I actually ask my wife for directions, and she tells me, okay, you want to go this way and this way. Okay. And I go the opposite way, thinking, hey, we'll get there for too long. Am I going to get there? No. And the same with our walk with the Lord, you know, we all can get, kind of happy or giddy or, oh man, yes. Being a Christian, I love it. My sins have been forgiven. But if we don't take it to the point where we follow Him, it's detrimental to our own spiritual health, you know, because we follow Him and what His Word says. And that's why it's so important what you guys do. When you study your Bible, when you read and come to gather in here together to hear that Word of God, it fine-tunes us that we know, oh, I better be doing this, you know. Not that God doesn't love us if we don't do it, but don't we want to honor Him? Isn't He the greatest gift man ever received? And so we want to honor Him by doing what He says to do. And by doing that, other people are going to follow us as we follow Jesus. Amen? But in the book of John, John had it documented. But the Master said, John chapter 14. It's always good to give you a chapter, right, Carol?
Yep, I was getting ready.
Are you getting ready to tell me, huh? 14:27. What are we looking at here? And Jesus talking to us and talking to the disciples. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. But do not let your heart be troubled. Nor let it be fearful. I don't give you peace, he says, like the world does. The world gives you peace temporarily. You have peace in your house for as long as you compromise with whoever's the strong hand in the house. Amen? Yeah, but it can come back around again. Arguments can take place. Disagreements can take place. But Jesus, I give you a peace that the world can't give you. And the peace that He gave us is reconciliation with God. Think of that. I mean, He came, and we're looking at, right now we're celebrating the birth of Jesus when the gift came, but we got to look beyond that as we take communion here in a moment. That how that gift fulfilled itself, and He went to the cross, died for our sins, and opened up a way, a bridge for you and I to be back with God. I mean, God, to have peace with God, knowing that the one who created all things, who formed us in His image, who loves us and cares for us, to be back with Him. Wow. What can be more important than that? You know, and I think a lot of times we just need to slow down and think about that for a moment. When we start getting frustrated, things aren't going your way, wait a second. What is He upset about? I mean, whatever you're upset about is going to be temporary anyway, right? You know, I went out the other night, finally got the old car started. I got to try to bring it to town this week. I just thank God I got started. No, water ran out of the radiator again. I got it started, you know. But I'm not going to let it upset me. You know, I had a great conversation last night coming home just down the road from Mary Stuckham's. I seen this light blinking at me, and here the Amish fella was out there hunting for deer, and here was supposed to pick him up, never picked him up. And he wanted to use my phone, of course. Well, I got a phone at the house. It worked out really well. I went and called the gentleman, the guy's from Peoria, Ohio. And so I'll be down about an hour or so and pick you up. I said, I'll take him, the newcomers, down to the, I call it the IGA store. Went back up and picked the zombies guys. I said, well, you got a gun somewhere. Well, I got to head up in the woods there, for I didn't want to stop you holding a gun. I said, well, I appreciate that. So I take him back now. The guy came in town, was dropped off yesterday to spend the night and pick back up the night. Okay. So I said, well, go ahead and get your gun. He comes out, and he brings two tents. He brings three sleeping bags. He made five trips back in the woods. The back of the cab of my truck was full of stuff for one day. I thought my wife packed for vacation. But the thing, what it was, this man was a Christian. And all the way from our place then to Newcomers Town, we just talked about the Lord, how good He is. And the kid's 20 years old. But it's just awesome. He's just this. And I guess what I'm talking about is the peacefulness of it. I knew when I stopped, the Lord was with me. I knew taking me, God was with me. And had an awesome time all the way up there. And it turned out to be the guy who's picking him up is a pastor from Peoria. Yeah, amen. So we both gathered together and took up a collection from this kid. Say, hey, good job. But just knowing, having the Lord in your life, it's 8 o'clock Saturday night. I have nothing going on. We'll just take you to Newcomers Town. I had a great time going up there and making a new friend like that. But that's a peace that we have with us in our lives that the world don't understand. You know, a lot of folks say, well, I wouldn't turn an Amishman anywhere. All they do is come in and kill all the deer. Well, the evidence, this guy didn't kill anything, you know. He didn't. I told him, I said, man, you need to go down the road there. There's a place called Mowers. I mean, I tell you what.
Get you some meat.
But Romans 5:1 is another verse that supports what I just shared with you. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's so powerful, being justified by faith. How many have faith in the Lord? How many believe He is who He says He is?
Amen.
That's where that peace comes from. The peace doesn't, I mean, I feel good when I know that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do, amen? But it has nothing to do with the peace I have from Him. The peace I have from the Lord is that if I mess up, we are still connected together. You know that? That He wants me just to see. He wants me to have that peace. You know? You ever mess up and you feel terrible about it? What's good, in a way, can give you a chance to reconcile with yourself, you know, and with God. But at peace, knowing that, hey, He still loves me. He still wants to succeed. It's like my wife and I, you all. I mean, we might have a disagreement, but there's still peace, or she ain't going to kick me out. Amen? I hope not. But yes. Better get a tent. Well, I got an Amish buddy now. I know he's got three of them. I can go up there and get him. So. But that's the peace we have through faith. And Ryan and I talk a lot about this. It's your faith in the Lord. He's already done everything. Now, sometimes we want to do stuff. We want to do stuff to please Him. We want to do, oh, Lord, I messed up last night. I'm going to do this and this today to make up for the difference. We don't have to do that. Understand that. I mean, if you ever mess up at home and you come home and you bring flowers and candy and stuff, you know. It works. But with God, we don't need candy and we don't need flowers. And really, all Carol would need if we had a disagreement and I was wrong again. I was wrong. You were right. That means more than any candy or any flowers. And same with the Lord. We acknowledge, hey, Lord, yeah, I messed up. But God didn't throw us out. It's having that faith. You know, I can't work enough here on earth to get to heaven. Jesus already did everything. And I acknowledge Him. I received Him as my Savior and Lord. I'm heaven bound. It's not based upon my works. But because we're born again, we want to do things to bring Him glory. Amen? We want to do that. But it's not part of how we get to heaven. Because if we had to work to get to heaven, it's not a free gift, is it?
Right.
And it's ours, and you receive that gift. And right now, we're looking at this gift during this, what we call the Christmas season, reminding ourselves how free it is, how much God loves us. And that we want to share that with other people. Amen? In John 10:10, this is probably one of the scriptures during the week I share so much with people, trying to share with them the gospel and let them know, hey, now if you're going to do the same thing tomorrow that you did today, and the Lord's not involved with it, you're going to get the same results, no matter how you look at it. In John 10:10 says, the thief, or Satan, comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all. Anything that's away from the Word of God, that's built in it. Amen? It can be covered up. It can look like, oh man, this is awesome. It can be justified by our government, by laws. We can pass laws justifying the things that God says don't do. Okay, well, it must be okay because, well, doesn't the Bible say to obey those in authority? Amen? Come on, somebody help me out. Except from the laws or disagreement of God. Amen? Okay, yes. And so Satan will have a way of covering things up. He has a way of convincing you it'll be different this time. Amen? Ever been back to where you come from? Think it'd be different? You can handle it this time? Whatever it might be. You know, it could be a friendship that you always get yourself into trouble with. And, oh, I'd be better this time. I'll get back here. Man, he finds a way of doing it. He'll get up here in your head and he'll try to convince you, Satan will, of doing things just almost like God says. One of the greatest things he'll tell you is, well, who's going to know? Nobody's going to know. You know, it's midnight. Nobody's going to know. But what does the Word of God say? Well, he knows everything, but it even goes deeper than that. He said, what's done in darkness shall be brought into the light. Amen. What's been whispered, be shouted from the mountaintops. Okay. And I believe we're seeing a lot of that darkness into light and shouting coming on right now as we continue to cry out to God and turn to Him. He's exposing more and more things in your own life, but also in our government and all that. You know, if the last year and a half crying out to the Lord, if it hasn't exposed more things in your own life that God says, hey, get rid of this, then pray and fast. Because none of us has it ever been perfect. But we are the temple of the living God. And through the last year and a half, as we looked at others, oh man, how can they do that? How can they do that? At the same time, inside of our own heart, God is exposing things. Okay, Storky, you need to get this out of here. You still got this or this. And I want God to do that. I want Him to just clean me out more and more and more. And He'll be doing that until I hear the trumpet sound. But that's what he does. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come to give you life and give you more abundantly. And that's not just the financial part abundant. I mean, how much more abundantly can you get than peace, joy, hope? That's what He offers us, okay? So we got to learn that. We got to teach ourselves. We got to train ourselves. And not to get wrapped up in the things of the world. Don't let the world take us away from what the Word of God says. Yes, we are in the world. He wants us to be part of the solution to the world. But don't let the world come into us and take away God's peace and His joy that He's given us, you know, and the love that He's sharing with us today. In John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. So He has showed us. I mean, if you just go back to the last scripture, we talk about the thief when he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've told you all this stuff. I'm sharing all this stuff with that we have knowledge of what's taking place. But understand this. I've overcome the world, Jesus says. He said, you're going to have tribulations. That's okay. So did I. But I overcame them. As we continue to follow Him and you draw closer to Him, you're going to find more tribulations taking place in your life, because you will not tolerate the things that you used to. The things that you used to maybe a year ago, just kind of laugh off, not saying about. In your spirit, you can't do that anymore. In your spirit, you have to share. When you see someone doing the same thing that you used to do, you just can't turn a blind eye anymore. Why can't you do that? It's so close to the coming of the Lord, number one. And I believe the compassion for people is growing in us. And we can all look at what happened when the church turned a blind eye to our government, to our world, to our school board, to everything else. We turned a blind eye, we closed our ears down, and we can go back the last 50 years and come forward. Look what's taken place because of pacifist churches. You know, Jesus talks about His peace He gives us. He says, I didn't come to give you peace to this world. I come to bring war. You know that? And the war's already there. It's good versus evil, okay? And so we got to realize we are in the last moments. We're the last part of the church, of the church age here on earth. It can end any time. The trumpet can sound, the dead in Christ are going to raise up, and those that are sold out to Jesus are going to be gone, taken out. At that point, there'll be 144,000 born-again Jews that will be ministering to God's chosen children. Amen? That's very soon. So we can't take light what He has called us to do. Every one of us. We got to open up our closets, see what's still hanging in there. We got to look in the mirror and see what's still looking back at us. What is in my life today that's detrimental to somebody coming to Jesus? And when you see it, Lord, help me get rid of it. Help me, cleanse me, Lord, that I can be a better ambassador of You. You know, you're going to heaven. Amen? But man, we want to have our lives to reflect Jesus more and more. And people will say more and more if you're on the internet much, don't judge me. How many people hearing that? Don't judge me. Kenny, do you judge anybody? No, you don't. You know why? Because the Word of God already judged them. We're just telling what the judge, out of love and compassion. Hey, listen, if you continue doing this, man, your wages for this is hell. Don't judge me. I'm not judging you. The judge of all creation has already passed sentence on this. I'm sharing out of my love. If you continue to live your life the way you are, man, you're going to miss what God has for you. And He's got a plan for you and a purpose for your life. Like, man, like you can never, never understand. But man, if you stay there, and I've been there before. You know, that's one thing that gets people when you witness to them and say, wait a minute, I've been there before. I'm not judging you. I'm just showing you what the Word of God says because I love you. I was headed to hell. I thought I was perfect. But man, I find out, man, I wasn't. Thank God that He loved me enough. So I just want to share that to you. I share this out of love to you. Now, they might still be upset with you. But when you tell them I share out of love, and truly in a compassionate way, it's going to make an impact on them. I know we all can get upset after a while, or we just... we can blow our tops at people once in a while, but man, if we do that, if possible, we want to go back and say, listen, I should never act the way I did. What I said is true. This is the Word of God, and this is what He wants you to do, but I should have never got upset with you. And just be real, folks. The time is so short with His coming. And a lot of you folks, as you're witnessing over the years and the love you show people, and you think you've never done any good, you're going to be surprised. People will be coming to you, say, tell me one more time. They're going to come and apologize to you. Say, listen, I know what you was doing. You know, I had a guy, and I won't go back to all my stories, but I had a guy witness to me all the time. When I was working GE, I had nothing to do with him. But what he said to me in the prayers of my missus and other people, 30 years later, here I am. So I get to heaven and I'm going to run up that guy. He used to drive a school bus. And he called it the big yellow banana. That's what he talked about all the time. I can't wait to go see him and tell him that how much I appreciate what he did. Amen? Yes, brother.
Sometimes by creating the witness to the world and stuff. We saw a lady yesterday, too, down there in Dresden.
Uh-huh.
And the one lady, she had a bullhorn.
Yeah.
I was listening while we was at the stoplight and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about the Bible didn't say nothing about Christmas or Christmas trees.
Right, yeah.
And so forth, you know. But she was doing it.
Condemning.
What you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't be a witness to people.
Right.
She had a
bullhorn. Right. And again, let the Lord lead you, but it doesn't say anything about Christmas. It talks about the birth of Christ. We know that. It doesn't talk about, it doesn't speak against a Christmas tree. And we shared that last week. You remember that? You know? I think it was Jeremiah. He was talking about a totem pole. But people who don't study the word, they, oh, wait, that's a Christmas tree. Boom. And so, people don't realize that this Christmas thing is not in the Bible. That Christmas really was a pagan holiday on December the 21st, the winter solstice. Constantine, in order to please the Christians, picked December the 25th for us to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we know that is a day that Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. That's when Christ came in a human form. You know? And what people understand, too many times, let's take Carol for a second. Let's say Carol's pregnant. Okay? Lord, I'm not prophesizing, okay? But people would walk up to Carol and say, oh, are you going to have a baby? No. You going to have a baby? No. I have a baby. It's right here. It just hasn't been birthed yet. Amen?
Right.
See the difference in that?
That's why life should be...
So...
I mean, what do you call that? You come together
to... It's been so long. Oh, no. Conception. Yeah, it does. It does.
A few weeks after or nothing, but then...
Right, oh, I know. And I agree with it. I agree 100%.
The Bible says that life the Word became flesh. And
yeah.
That was the moment that the
yep.
Word became flesh.
Yep, so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the moment that she agreed that Jesus was here in human form as the embryo in Mary. And that was December 25th. As you calculate, now I've told the story 100 times probably. If you're not aware of it, I can tell you again during dinner time if you want to. I don't hate to keep repeating myself if you all know the story. But that's when he came. But it was a winter solstice. So, you know, I say when you go to the store, somebody says, Happy Holidays. No, this is Merry Christmas. No, it can be a holiday. Again, we took a pagan holiday and we stepped into it. Amen?
And the word holiday actually came from holy day.
Mm-hmm.
The root word of it is holy day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You see someplace, some stories say Merry Xmas. Okay. So X in Hebrew is Christ. Mm-hmm. It is not, understand that. It's not derogatory to God. A lot of times what it is just you don't have enough space to put stuff, so X-Men. You know, they say, well, don't take Christ out of Christmas. X isn't. I mean, X is more Christ than us spelling Christ out, right? Amen? Is that right, teacher?
In Greek,
it's Greek. X is a Greek. Yeah. So when you look at kind of stuff, like, wow, God's got it all orchestrated. But some people, like you're saying, they're convinced that this is wrong and that is wrong. But go back to the root. Jesus,
right.
The Son of God, given to us as a fantastic present. Gift of salvation. Amen. Amen. And some folks are called to, you know, we've had folks out there on 2nd and Main Street before, telling people to repent, Christ is coming, and people are just making fun of them and stuff. Or one white guy had a sign that said, Jesus loves you. That's all it said, okay? And we hear the story where One guy getting ready to kill himself one day. He's going to go park his car and kill himself. And he saw someone holding that sign, Jesus loves you. And he went to a church instead and saved a life. God knew what that person was going to be driving down that road at a certain time, and he needed someone, a servant, to stand there and get the gospel out. Even though he might have been ridiculed, made fun of. That's a Jesus freak. You ever hear that? They ought to just stay in the churches, worship. They don't need to be out here. We had the right to be out here. Out here in the public, sharing the gospel. Sharing Jesus. Amen. In fact, that's where we should be at, you know.
Where Jesus
works. Yes, out there, yes. Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what you guys do. Whether you're in line at Walmart, wherever you might be, you're stopping, get somebody a ride or whatever, you're out there sharing the gospel. And you know, and they're trying to take that away from us too, more and more, but praise God that people are standing up for their rights and no, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. How can anyone come to Him if we don't share that? And so, man, there is a great revival taking place. It's going to go like fox on fire. Remember Solomon? Lit the tails of the foxes? Yeah, amen.
Samson,
yeah. I know the relation there in the Old Testament somewhere. But yeah, and that's what you do. I mean, you might be consider yourself a foxtail. And we all go out here, and man, we're going to catch the world on fire for the Lord. And that's all come because you have faith in the Lord. And we have to get to the point that we put Him first and not ourselves. Yes, you'll be ridiculed, you'll be persecuted. People will turn their back on you maybe, relatives. Might want to talk to you no more, you know. And I'm not talking about being obnoxious, but I'm just saying to share. I never saw Jesus get obnoxious. I've seen Him get upset in His Father's house, remember? But everything else, He just shared the truth and they didn't want it. What did He say to do? Knock the sand off of your feet and keep on going. At least He shared that. But someday somebody's going to look back at you and say, wow, like I said, that crazy Hummer on the 2014 press down GE, he knew what he's talking about. I look at him today, I thought, man, what a man of faith. Wasn't afraid to share Jesus, a long-haired dude down GE. Yes, Nancy.
Judging.
Okay.
Bring out that it says, judge not lest you be judged.
Yeah, judge not lest you be judged. And what he's talking about, us judging people, not His word judging people, okay? He also says, by the measure that you judge someone, you be judged also. So we are judged by the word of God, okay? But we have that grace of God. Amen? And that's what. I think it's two-part there, Nancy. If we're going to share someone, or if we call it judging someone, we got to share with them also the relief mechanism through Jesus that we have. Amen? Amen. And most folks, they already know what they're doing isn't right. They just need somebody to confirm it, like ourselves, you know. Didn't we all justify our sin at one time? We all had a reason. Hey, yes, I know I'm not supposed to, but if you had my life, you know what I'm saying? All right, here, hey, well, I understand, but well, me and God's got to, we get the spiritual understanding. Okay, well, He says that God doesn't change, His word doesn't change, and He's not a respecter of persons. So tell me about this understanding that you and God have. What type of contract that you have that allows you to stay in sin and still get to heaven? You know, and because seriously, somewhere along the line, they might have been convinced. Some people are convinced they live their life the way they want to today, and they die, you pray them into heaven. Isn't that a doctrine of demons? You want to talk about something? Well, I left all my money to the church, and when I die, they're going to have a great big service for me. And I mean, folks, this is out there, okay? And we know it's not true, right? And so we are to share that in a way that people can receive it. But it has to come in a way, a loving way. Because I had that thrown at me one time. That was my belief at one time, okay? And it had to come to me in a gentle way. Well, show me. Show me in the Bible where it says that, okay? And a lot of times they'll say, well, it's in the book of Maccabees. Well, Maccabees is awesome. I mean, that's where we got Hanukkah, okay? But none of that is in there. It just talks about how they reestablished a temple and stuff like that, you know. But being, do things out of love and do things truly because you have compassion for somebody to hear the truth. Amen? And that's that peace that God gives us. That, okay, you shared today my word and they rejected. That's okay, they rejected me. But, you know, they're still around. You sowed those seeds. Walk in the peace I've given you. Two more verses, okay? 1 Peter 5:6. Again, instructions handed down to us. And again, this word I'm going to share to start with is a very good one because the Master did this. And it teaches us in the morning, if you can read this even, it'll help you be more about serving the Lord and not ourselves. In 1 Peter 5:6, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." Humble yourself before the Lord. I've had encounters with a lot of folks the last couple of weeks of some of these mandates that's been going on, and their jobs are being challenged, and what's I think is awesome is that they're standing on their beliefs, they're standing on what their conviction they have with the Lord, and sometimes it's like they humble themselves and say, "Well, I understand what you're saying, sir, but these are my beliefs. I will not go against my beliefs. So if you have to do what you got to do, go ahead. But I'm not going to turn and do something my God says not to do." That's humbling yourself, okay? And then you find out so many cases that, and I'm talking about the mandate, the shop mandate, what I'm talking about, okay? But in so many cases, the employer has found a way around it to keep you employed. Same time, we have people in power raising up saying, "Hey, Shaw might be a good thing, but it shouldn't be mandatory," you know? And so, it is an awesome thing. That way, if I went in and you're my employer, and you're going to have this dark, you're going to do this, I'll walk in and take a chair and hit you over the head, okay? That's not really humbling myself. But I say, "Now, David, I understand. But man, my God says that don't pass the children through the fire. He says don't spill innocent blood. I just have conviction against this, okay? So I you got to do what you got to do. I understand that. But I'm going to honor God in my life." And then when it goes my way, we still have a good connection. Because I told him, "You got to do what you got to do," okay? And who knows, God might speak to you and say, "Well, man, you want what Starkey has, that peace. Willing to give up your job for your convictions." And the only way I got my job in the first place, God gave it to me. Does he control everything? Amen. Oh, well, maybe I've just been kind of stubborn. He wants to move somewhere else. I don't know. You know, our youngest son lost a job one time for his convictions. Working in a newspaper down in Virginia. Wouldn't compromise. Calls up, okay, well, God gave you that job. Within 30 days, he has a job where he's in the corporation at today. He didn't get mad and get upset. I mean, yeah, concern. Yeah, when you're married, you got kids. Concern. But just, God just, and so we humble ourselves. We allow God to do the purpose he has in our life. Amen? Amen. And then the last verse I'll share with you for communion. Romans 8:31. And this will help you get you through a lot of trials and attacks on this earth. And you don't know what to do. Anxiety might come around. And sometimes you think you might be by yourself, maybe right now. Maybe you had friends turn on you, or maybe family members not talking to you right now. But God tells us, when it's documented here in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, I mean, he doesn't leave us. If we confess Jesus as Savior and Lord, He is for us. Okay? And even when the world is coming down and trying to shut down, trying to change this, trying to change that, taking things that's been established by God's Word for our country when it was formed 250 years ago. But God is still for us. This nation is still in the covenant with God. Now, we might have some people in power around the United States that is not in covenant with God, but the United States of America is still in covenant with God. He is still for us. As long as we are still for Him. Amen?
Amen.
So what is there to fear? Nothing to fear. We have to remember that. And remind ourselves that. Okay? God, You're in charge. You already have a number of days purpose right now for the United States. Number of days purpose for me. Worrying about it ain't going to change nothing. Preparing for stuff, yes. You know, I don't worry about paying my electric bill. Why? Because I set the money aside when I got paid. Yeah, amen. If I didn't set it aside, I would be worrying because I would go down to the Royal King and spend it. You know what I'm saying? But yes, He's just saying, okay, God, my days are numbered. My life is in Your hand. I follow You. Anything that I have in my life that You show me it's not of You, doesn't please You, I get rid of it. And I'm so search for You. What else can I do? Yes, it brings that peace. God's love also works this way, that when you're not in compliance with them, you get convicted. Amen? And that is a blessing when you get convicted. When we get disciplined from the Lord, it's a blessing because He cares for us. Understand that. Yeah, discipline your children because you love them. Okay? You never discipline a child because you're angry. Never, ever. You do it because you care for the future. So that's why sometimes if a child really upsets you, hey, we'll talk in a half hour if you need to calm down. Amen? But then they need to know that, hey, listen, this is for your own good. And we don't understand that until 40 years later, do we? So, yeah. So, some of us say, boy, if Dad really loved me, yep, he'd beat me every day. No. My dad didn't do that, but I know. And I know some of us have fathers or maybe that had a difficult time being a parent, you know, and done things that they would today tell you they regret. But we look toward our Heavenly Father and let Him do our disciplining and correcting in our life. Amen? Amen. But it is peace, what He wants us to rest in. That peace as we follow Him today. Amen. Yes. I can remember being bent over my daddy's knee, 7 years old. Son, this is going to hurt me more than you. Yeah, it's my hind end. He caught me smoking at 7 years old, okay? And I wish he would have hit me a little harder. I picked him back up 2 years later. Spanked again, then picked him back up 3 years later. Then at 16 months, of smoke. But she gave me a little bit of wisdom. She said, now go ahead and smoke. We're going to spend your last dime on cigarettes. Yeah, right. She was right. I remember crawling under my Camaro trying to find a nickel and a dime to buy a pack of cigarettes. You know what I'm saying? Her wisdom, but as time went on, I was able to lay them down. You know, amen. But, yeah, it don't hurt me. And now I can look back and say, yeah, it did. You know, but He did it out of love for me. He wanted me to learn to be obedient. And never, my household, you never disrespect Mom. I remember sitting there one day, and Mom had worked hard. I mean, she always did, raising 5 kids, 3 foster children. And she's on the couch snoring. Okay? Fell asleep when we watched a football game. And me and my brother started laughing. Boy, no, that's making you laugh at her. She's snoring because she's tired, you know. I thought, okay. So, amen. Anybody else have a question or comment before we break bread this morning? Okay. Huh? We're going to do the Advent and then we're...
I'm just reminding you.
Okay, yeah, we're going to talk about the Advent candle and then we're going to have communion. So, brother, you want to stand up there for me? And again, the Advent wreath is something that we do. That just helps us take time to reflect back on what God has done and also what He's going to do. And last week, we talked about the hope. Yeah, thank you, Daryl. The hope we have in Jesus. And today we're talking about the peace that we have. It says the second candle of the Advent is a candle of peace. It is sometimes called the Bethlehem candle to remind us of the place in which preparations were made to receive and cradle the Christ child. Peace is a gift that we must be prepared for. God gives us the gift of peace when we turn to Him in faith. The prophet Isaiah calls Christ the Prince of Peace. Through John the Baptist and all the other prophets, God asks us to prepare our hearts that He may come in. Our hope is in God and His Son Jesus Christ, but our peace is found in Him. We light this candle today to remind us that He brings peace to all who trust in Him. Amen. And that's what we always walk with the Master as Christians every day, but again, this is more time to reflect ourselves, kind of slow ourselves down and say, okay, do I truly have the attributes of Christ in my life? And again, is there something in there that shouldn't be in there? But at the same time, look what's already there. Look at the peace you have today that you didn't have last year, 5, 10 years ago. Look at the joy, the hope that you have. I mean, I don't know how anyone can go through this world today without having the blessed hope that Christ gives us and the peace that He offers to us. So, amen.